left eternity where God knows no time, and he steps into time to live on this earth. And at the end of his life, when he knew his life was coming to an end, when he knew his time would be no more, he said, "Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do."
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, Redeeming the Time. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of yesterday is the canceled check, tomorrow is the promissory note, today is the only money you have, spend it wisely.
I was trying to just preach this thing straight through, but the Lord convicted my heart and said, "No, man, you got to give some background because you want to interpret the scripture correctly." So I wanted to give that background and tell you the foundation for the message that I'm coming from today. So I'm coming from the Christian foundation, and the Christian foundation is that this is the day means today as opposed to yesterday or tomorrow. So this is the day, today is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The first thing that we need to do, since this is the day that the Lord hath made, we need to contemplate. That's what that means. It means when you think about the fact that this is the day that the Lord hath made, there needs to be some thought. There needs to be some contemplation. And then the second thing we see is that when we say this is the day that the Lord hath made, there needs to be not only contemplation, but there needs to be celebration. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's look at the contemplation. The contemplation, first of all, says this day has been created by the Lord. That God created this day. That when you woke up this morning, God created a day just for you. Now, it's very interesting. The word made is the same Hebrew word in Genesis 2:4. Watch this now, where it says that God created his creation. So the same word is used here in Psalm 118. So what does that mean? That God spent 6 days doing what? Creating, shaping, and molding. And so when we think at this verse, we need to contemplate and we need to think about the fact that God created this day. Wow. Let that sink in for a moment. That when you got up, that God thought about you and God had a special day set aside for just you. And God created a day just for you. If he didn't create it for you, then you wouldn't be here. So he has a purpose and he has a plan for you in creating this day for you. So we go back to our theme, which is redeeming the time, buying back the time. So if God created this day for me, the worst thing that I could do is to squander this time that he created. The worst thing that I can do is let this time go that God has given especially for me. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The second thing that we see is that this time is fixed. What did he say? This is the day. Now, in American terms, we take the day as 24 hours. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this before, but everybody gets a deposit in their account. That when you wake up in the morning, wouldn't it be nice to know that every day somebody is depositing $86,000 into your account? I'd be excited about that. I'd be ready to shout to know that every day somebody was depositing $86,000 into my account. But God does it every day.
Every day he deposited 86,000 seconds into your life. 1,440 minutes and 24 hours. God every day puts, again, time is life. That when you go to a job and you work and you give 8 hours of your time, you are given 8 hours of your life. And so what does God do? God is a gracious God, and God gives us a gift every day. He gifts us every day with 86,000 seconds. That's God's gift to you. I'm going to preach a message in this series, and the title of the message is, When Time Shall Be No More. And I'm not talking about time as far as the earth is concerned. I'm talking about your time. Because all of us, our time is coming to an end. And so we need to come to grips with that fact. But the fact is that you're sitting here today, that this morning, last night, whenever he did it, God deposited another 86,000 seconds into your account of life, of the ability to breathe and move. And even though some of us might not be moving as well as others, we're still moving. Some people say, well, you know, I wish I had as much time as so-and-so. Well, you do. They don't have any more time than you have. They got the same amount of time that you got. And so we need to realize that God is no respecter of person when it comes to time. That we all have the same amount of time. So the time is fixed. And then we see the third thing that as I look at this, if this is the day that God has given us, then we need to be very careful in how we spend this day. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We need to be very careful how we spend this day. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That every day in my life, that I need to take this gift that God has given me, and I need to treasure this gift that God has given me, and I need to be careful with how I use this gift. And so that means that in my life that there are some things that I need to prioritize. And you say, well, what do I need to prioritize? Well, Paul gives you the answer to that question. He says, redeeming the time, wherefore the days are evil, and be not unwise, but what? Understand what the will of the Lord is for my life. Understanding what the will of the Lord. That every day I need to, and again, we need to go to work. Those of you who have to work, you know, you have family obligations. So that's God's will. You know, that's the will of God. But then, you know, we want to take the rest of the time and say, well, this is my time. And I'm going to do whatever I want to do with my time. No, you need to understand what the will of God is. And if God's will is for you to do something with your time, then you need to seek him. If God's will is for you to sit in front of the television for 4 hours, then go, so be it. Oh, it got a little quiet in there. It got a little quiet in here. Now, see, when I'm preaching this, there's three fingers coming back at me, right? All right, so preach, Pastor. Preach, Pastor. Preach to yourself, too. All right, so I know. I told you, man. So see, a lot of times these messages that I preach, I've been convicted first. Then, you know, I got to try them out, right? So I didn't try this one out. So, you know, I got to seek the Lord and ask him, you know, what is his will for me this day? And again, I'm not, Jesus relaxed. Jesus took time and he kicked back and enjoyed himself. So there's nothing wrong with relaxation. There's nothing wrong with unwinding. There's nothing wrong with downtime. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. So we just need to seek the will of the Lord. Now turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is what's known as the Lord's Prayer. We often think of our Father which art in heaven as the Lord's Prayer. That was the disciples' prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. All right, this is the prayer that the Lord prayed. And notice what Jesus said when he was getting ready to offer his life on the cross. He said, I have, in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Jesus Christ, watch this. Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity into what? Time. He left eternity where God knows no time, and he steps into time to live on this earth. And at the end of his life, when he knew his life was coming to an end, when he knew his time would be no more, he said, Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. And so we got to be careful how we spend our day. So that means that we're going to prioritize some things. Now, I'll just tell you personally, me, there's two things that are a priority for me. And I know that if I do these two things, that my day will generally go pretty good. The first thing is spend time with God. That's the first thing, you know, to read my Bible and pray. I realize that if I do that, that's one thing. And the other one, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. At some point during the day, I got to exercise. At some point, I got to exercise because I just feel a whole lot better when I exercise. And, that, you know, it's been that way since college. You know, since I went to college, I tried to. And I'm not going to say I do it every day. I would be lying, all right? And I'm not going to lie from this pulpit on a Sunday morning. But it's in my heart, and most days I try to do those two things. Spend time with God and go exercise. Because I know that if I can do that, I realize that my day is going to be the best that it can be. At least I'm starting off anyway, the best that I can be for God. And so after that, I seek God, and I realize that there are things that are already scheduled in that I have no control over. And same with you. You know, if you got a job, you have no control over that. You got to go to work. All right? If you got family commitments, then you got to do that. But then beyond that, I begin to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, now which of these other things are really priorities that you have for me to do? And as I pray about that, you know, God shows you, and then you put that on the top of your agenda, and you begin to work through those things, and you realize that maybe there'll come an interruption, and so you got to be flexible to say, okay, well, I might have to shift and make some adjustment here. But your day has been committed to the Lord. You have committed your day to God. And so you realize that whatever happens, that once you set your agenda, whatever happens beyond that, that God knew about that, and God wasn't surprised. God wasn't sitting up in heaven saying, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. How in the world did that happen to Bill today? Boy, that thing sure took me by surprise. God already knows it. My day is committed to him. So whatever interruptions come along the way, he already knows about it. So all I need to do is turn to him and say, Lord, okay. Now, I thought I had specific things to do, but, you know, you've kind of changed it a little bit. So give me the strength, give me the wisdom to keep on keeping on. So I've got to be careful how I spend this day. And then the fourth thing, I got to realize this, is that I cannot retrieve wasted moments for this day. That once I spend a minute, that there's nothing I can do. Nothing. Think about that. There's absolutely nothing I can do to get that moment back. This is the day. This is the day. This is all you have. God is not like AT&T. You know, you don't have rollover minutes. God don't roll minutes over to the next day. When it's gone, it's gone. It's like the budget at Bethany Baptist Church. If you don't spend it, it don't roll over to next year. It's gone. All right. So you can't hold it. You can't retrieve these moments. And how tragic it is for people to waste minute after minute of this day that God has made and to watch these minutes go by, realizing that you can't go back and that you can't retrieve them. So I would think, now I'm a preacher and I guess y'all expect me to say something like this. I would expect that the best investment that you can make of your time is what you're doing here this morning. Worshiping God and hearing the word of God. Now, there's other things that are important, but I applaud you. I think you made a good investment in your time today. I really think you invested your time wisely, all right? So we need to look at that and say, how can I invest my time in things that are going to build me up, edify me, strengthen me, and help me to be better, a better servant for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? So contemplate, this is the day which the Lord hath made. The Lord created this day. The time for this day is fixed. I must be careful how I spend this day, and I cannot retrieve the moments wasted in this day. Which leads me to my second point, not only contemplate, but then the psalmist says, celebrate. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. I put my faith in people, and people let me down. So I turned the other way, and I carried on anyhow. I just want to celebrate another day of living. I can't be bothered with sorrow, and I can't be bothered with hate. I'm using up my time by feeling fine every day. And I just want to celebrate another day of living. The psalmist says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day, you ought to celebrate. A couple of weeks ago, when it got cold, I was talking to somebody. I forget who I was talking to. But they were telling about a person who was complaining about it being cold. It was one of them. Now, we haven't had too many this winter. But so somebody was complaining. Can you believe that? No. So somebody was complaining about it being cold. And you know what this person said that they told them? I just thank God to be able to feel the cold air on my face. Whoa, I just thank God to be able to feel the cold air on my face, because a lot of people can't do that. I just want to celebrate. Lord, I thank you for giving me another day. In this pain-racked, limping, dragging body, I just thank you for giving me another day. You see, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke you up this morning, and he started you on your way. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful that God has put strength in your body and raised you up. And, you know, I don't understand how that people can, a lot of people have this entitlement mentality where you think that you're entitled to things. You know, a lot of young people think that they're entitled to have a cell phone. They're entitled to have an iPad. They're entitled to have a nook or whatever, a cranny, whatever it is. That they're entitled. A lot of people think they're entitled. So we think that we're entitled to another day.
This is the day that God has given us. And we need to thank him that he has blessed us for another day. The psalmist said, I'm going to celebrate the fact that I have another day. And not only am I going to give thanks, but I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in this day. This joy that I have, we heard the song, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I'm going to rejoice. That don't let anything take your joy. You know, somebody said life is too short not to rejoice. Somebody said, I don't know where I got this one from, but somebody said life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. Man, life is too short, man. I mean, really, come on, let's be true. Like, and you know what? I remember when I started driving, it seemed like it took forever for me to be able to get my driver's license. I mean, man, it seemed like it took forever. And ever since then, shoom, it's just flying by. And with life moving so fast, it's a sin not to rejoice in the day that God has given us. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow's the promissory note. Today is the only cash that you have. Spend it wisely. There's a story that I tell often. Some of you have heard it before at homegoing services. And it's about this lady who got on this train. And she rode this train. And this train was a famous train ride, and people came from around the world to ride on this train. Train started out in a western town where there was all type of scenic events going on, and as it left the town, it went out into a valley where you could see all type of exotic animals through that valley. And as it went through the valley, it began to climb along the side of a mountain, and you could look off the mountain down into the ravine, into a river that was just such a breathtaking view. And the ride finished off in some snow-capped mountains. So just on that ride, you just were transported through four different types of scenery. And people loved this ride. And so this lady got on the train, and she didn't get the seat that she wanted, and she complained. It was a little bit warmer than she wanted, and she complained. They served food, and that wasn't what she wanted, and she complained. And by the time she settled down to get ready to look out the window to enjoy the ride, the conductor said, the ride is over. She complained the whole way, and she missed the beauty of the ride. I kind of think that's what the psalmist is trying to tell us today, is that we need to enjoy the ride. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I believe the psalmist is saying, despite what's going on in your life, bills, relationship issues, problems with children or parents, whatever the case might be, I believe the psalmist is trying to give us a word this morning. And again, you know, sickness, pain, he's trying to give us a word. Enjoy the ride. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Redeem the Time, in the Meantime, the In-Between Time. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, yesterday is the canceled check, tomorrow is the promissory note, today is the only money you have, spend it wisely, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, yesterday is the canceled check, tomorrow is the promissory note, today is the only money you have, spend it wisely. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, yesterday is the canceled check, tomorrow is the promissory note, today is the only money you have, spend it wisely. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchor Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.